in one of the more fantastical stories in the Bible, which, you know, there are many, Lot and his wife and their family are fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah as it's being destroyed. And the angels are escorting them out of town and telling them very emphatically and probably repeatedly, do not look back. You know how hard that is when somebody tells you, do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't, don't. And there's Lot's wife, whoop. And guess what happens? She turns into a pillar of salt. It's bizarre, yet it has a metaphor that makes a lot of sense. Salt is a preservative, right? So she is forever preserved in that attachment to the past, in that looking back. And that is a bit of what we're talking about today, releasing those kinds of attachments. So I was feeling bad for Lot's wife because that's how she's named in the Bible. That's it. She doesn't even get a first name. It's just Lot's wife, right? And so I was thinking, we need to give her a name. And then I thought, well, maybe Carrie Jane Lake wouldn't mind because she was the wife of the salt mogul, Morton Salt, right? So then I found a picture of Carrie Jane and put it aside Lot's wife, and I thought there was some similarity there. So there's a sculpture of Lot's wife looking back, and there's a portrait from the Morton Arboretum, my hometown of Chicago, of Carrie Jane Lake. So for whatever that's worth to you, I thought I would share it. Maybe it's having that image, you know? Sometimes it's just having that image of like, oh, I know what I'm doing right now, and I'm going to turn into a pillar of salt to bring in a little bit of humor, right, into our spiritual journey. So those times when we catch ourselves doing that which we know that isn't going to serve our highest good, and then we can say, let me turn back. Let me turn back to the God within me. Let me turn back to the one true source, to the divinity in me, and be reminded of the path I'm really on, right? So these 12 powers that we've been talking about, can you believe it? For 11 weeks, we're on power number 11. Power number 11 is the power of release. So it is all about letting go. Yes, it's a good one, huh? Freedom, surrender, I fly. So we are releasing our attachments to the past and all kinds of attachments that don't serve us, right? Wherever we notice that we are especially graspy or grabby at things, we can recognize that, maybe if I opened my fist and let go there, there would be greater ease in my life and in my being. And the places that we notice maybe that we're attached to labels, limitations, limited thought, whatever that may be that is sort of dragging us down. So those are some aspects of release. We're also going to touch a little bit on the aspect of this power that the power is sometimes called the power of renunciation. And so and it's also sometimes called the power of elimination. So all of those things are sort of wrapped into the idea of the power of release. So I was, over the years, have visited with one of our longtime members around this topic who I knew she was in the process of really mastering this power. And so I asked Eileen Hausfeld if she would share a bit today. And many of you may or may not know Eileen because she likes to work in the background, even though she's been serving our community for a long time. So, of course, in natural unity fashion, I asked her to come to the foreground today, right? You might know her as somebody who's been actively involved in our fall fundraiser and our other events. She also has created beautiful Centerpoint newsletters for many years for us and is our point person for our social media account on Meetup, which often brings new folks in. Those are just a few of the many things that Eileen has done around here. And today she's going to give us a little snippet of her life and her process with the power of release. So come on up, Eileen.
Thank you, Kristen. And good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to say Shana Tova to our Jewish friends who just ended the High Holy Days and started the new year. I'm not Jewish, but my husband is. And I've come to appreciate Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for the invitation to reflect on the past year, atone for failings, and recommit to a personal and collective higher consciousness. So again, Shana Tova, Happy New Year. Speaking of my husband, Ken, he likes an environment of free, open, clutter-free space. And I have clutter corners everywhere. I keep things because I think they might be useful somewhere down the line. And lots of times I'm right, actually. And he asked, oh, Eileen, do you have something that I can just use to... Yes, I have this little clutter box, and I can get this for you. But he gets frustrated with me, though, and I get that, too. And he asks me to purge, and very often I've got other things that are higher priority for me. But at some level, I do get the need to and the value of releasing some of this stuff. And so on January 1st of 2020, I started an online course called A Year to Clear. And it gives daily readings and practices to encourage people to let go. There are some tips on what to do, like put away one thing every day, even if it's a paperclip. But overall, the program has a quality of as within, so without. And most of the daily segments focus on releasing attitudes, beliefs, habits that no longer fit, along with your clothes that no longer fit, right? I spent a whole year in that program, didn't see any results. So I started over on January 1st of 2021. And I began daily reflections on release from an organization called the Sedona Method. Slowly in recent times, I've begun to notice and stop holding on so tightly to things like wanting control over my time, my plans, my way of doing things, or believing in old embedded thoughts like, I should do this, they should not do that, it should be this way. A biggie for me, though, has been to let go of what I call my picky perfectionism, which ends up taking up and probably wasting more time than is necessary. And being detail-oriented, I believe, is a fine thing. It's a gift as long as there's balance. And I'm still trying to reach that balance. About purging physical things, though, I've done enough within work over the past almost 2 years that it's starting to manifest outwardly. And a week ago, I packed up a huge box about this tall, that square, of materials, fabrics, scraps, and, you know, yards of things that I'll never use. And they're not going to landfill. I found a place called TerraCycle that I can ship them to, and they will look at everything and find another use for them, recycle them, repurpose them, do whatever, so that it doesn't go into landfill. And for that, I and Mother Earth am grateful. When I told Kristen I would speak on the power, or what I call the gift of release, my mind began to want to think up what I was going to say. And this popped up. I am of an age where I have used up all my shoulds and should nots. It actually gave me a sense of relief. I mentioned it to a girlfriend, and she understood immediately what I was saying. And she said, it takes too much energy to have those shoulds and should nots. Yep. So that made me think of something Eckhart Tolle is advising, and that is resist nothing. And he defines resistance as an antagonistic relationship to life. Now, how much energy does that take? Yeah. So over the past many months, to help me release my should and should not triggers, I've collected mantras, many mantras, like let whatever happens be okay and refuse to make a problem out of anything. So in repeating these mantras over time, I came to see that releasing has a companion called acceptance. So I let go and I let God. I say it is what it is and I don't mind, or I don't give a hoot. That's what Lester Levinson says. Here's what Byron Katie says. Everything happens for you, not to you. You don't have to like it. It's just easier if you do. So release, accept. I believe there's a third practice to this process. Be aware. Notice. If I'm not aware, if I don't notice that my stuff is getting triggered, there's no opportunity to release and accept and maybe even bless that which is about to unfold. Awareness also has a practical implication purely in the physical realm. On Thursday, I was walking the canal trail and wasn't present, wasn't aware, didn't watch where I was going, and stepped off the asphalt onto the gravel, but it was a 4-inch drop, and I tumbled. Now I'm sore, and I'm releasing the temptation to be sore at myself. Yes. Accepting what is, like I can't walk the trail for a few more days, and blessing the lesson to be more awake, to be more present. So as you see, I like mantras, so I'll leave you with two. The first is one I made up: notice, release, accept, and bless. The second is from Julian of Norwich, a Middle Ages mystic, who said, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and every manner of thing shall be well. I have one more thing to add, though. Thanks to Deborah and songwriter Ricky Byers, I really like the line, let my soul surrender, greater shall I be, for what I came here to do, feel, and be. That just wraps it up for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Eileen. You packed a lot in there. And the idea of not shoulding on ourselves, right, is always a good one to remember, and timely, because this particular power is located in the large intestine or the colon. And it is seriously, the color is brown, I'm sorry to say. However, it's a little bit, we can call it russet, a little bit more like what Eileen's wearing. And we can think of it as a fall tree, right? The falling leaves of a tree, the beauty of that color turning before it gets let go. The power is also represented by the disciple Thaddeus, and the woman of the chalice is Bathsheba. And Bathsheba, if you think about Bathsheba's story, she's seen bathing on the roof. Remember, you probably know it from the song, Alleluia, right? And David sees her. So it's the water, it's that cleansing of the water that is part of release. And also in their story is forgiveness. And so there's also that idea of forgiveness that is wrapped into this power. So a friend of mine was telling me about a story about somebody she knew named Marlene. And Marlene grew up with a very, very harsh mother. Her mother just didn't have anything nice to say about her. And so as a result, Marlene really carried with her a real lack of confidence, a low self-esteem, and a lot of shame throughout her life. Miraculously, she was a very kind and compassionate person and had a lot to offer other people, but she struggled with these basic ideas that she held. I'm not enough. It was one of her core beliefs. And another thing that she would do in life was just kind of label life with, oh, it could be worse, right? So anything that happened, it could be worse, was a way that she sort of kind of tried to lift herself up, I guess. So she was visiting with her hairstylist one day, which often we do tell our hairstylists everything, apparently. And there was Marlene telling her some story and punctuating it like she always does at the very end of that story with, oh, you know, well, it could be worse. And her hairstylist said, and it could be better. And it was one of those moments where the light bulb just went off. You know, it could be better. It could be better. It could be better. She started to really feel the zeal for that idea, that possibility that things could actually be better. The next day, she was so excited, she woke up early, and she and her daughter decided to go to church. And her daughter went to the youth ministry, and they did a lesson that they created something called a God can. And in the God can, they made a little slit on the top. And the idea was that you put your prayers in the can, things that you felt like you couldn't fix, knowing that God can, right? And so the Marlene was so inspired by the lesson, the object lesson that the kids had gone through, because she started to notice that in order to put that label on, they had to peel something else off. And she was thinking about those old labels that she'd been carrying for so long, that I'm not enough, and that, oh, things could always be worse. And she thought, what if I made my own God can, and I put my new label on it, that things can be better? And that's exactly what she did. And after she did that, she was inspired to go back to school. She became a social worker. She met another social worker in the school. They married, and they had a practice together. And for the rest of her career, she helped people peel those old labels off and put the fresh labels onto their own sense of, I can, God can, the divine in me can. That's the power of release in action. So what for you are your labels that are ready to be peeled off? What's something that you're ready to let go of, to peel off, to release, to come, to make that can of you, of yourself, naked once again so you can wrap around the label that is true for you? What is that label that you are living into now? So consider that. What am I peeling away? And what will I live into now? What's my new essence that I am naming truth about myself? So as I mentioned earlier, sometimes this power is called the power of renunciation. It's basically the power of saying no, right? I've been in touch a lot more with my mom lately because she's going through a lot of things. And so it makes me think more of stories of my mom and I. And I was thinking about this one where I was supposed to go to a field trip at school, and my mom insisted that I bring my school shoe or wear my school shoes to school. And I didn't want to wear my school shoes. I wanted to wear my tennis shoes. And I was just tired of being bossed, apparently, at that age, whatever age I was pretty young. And I remember distinctly my bus was going to be coming. You know, it was back in the old days, the old days when we took a school bus. Yeah, it's amazing. So it was like, got to go now to catch the bus. And I'm standing at the door refusing to change my shoes. And my mom's telling me, no, you need to change your shoes. And I just had a little tizzy fit. And I remember stomping my feet and saying, the mom's way, the mom's way. It's always got to be the mom's way. Today it's going to be the kid's way. And she was just like probably rolling her eyes. She's like, okay, great. You got to catch your bus. So take these shoes and you're going to change into them before you go on your field trip. And that was the compromise, right? But it was that, you know, what was happening as a child, and you've seen other children do this kind of thing, right? They get tired of being told, and there's this power that moves through them, and there's that says, no, you will not tell me anymore, right? And it's similarly, I was thinking of a story once I grew up, where my mom and I went to a community college class together. It was a poetry class. My mom was so excited when we enrolled in the class. But as it got closer, I could see she got more and more nervous about it. She hadn't been in a classroom for 30 years. And so she was just really nervous about it. And so she started making up all these excuses. Oh, I didn't know the class was going to be that long. I can't sit that long. And I was like, okay, so trying to move around that idea. And then, oh, it's way too far for you to come from the city. That's going to be way too inconvenient. I think we should just drop it. So finally, recognizing that she was afraid, I just said, Mom, why don't we just go to the class, and if you don't like it at the break, we'll leave. So it came to break, and I couldn't find my mom. I was looking everywhere. I was like, the break wasn't that long, and there she was just gone. So I went, you know, in the hallways, in the bathroom. I peeked out in the park. Did she go back to the car? Is she waiting there? Like, it's time to go. I didn't like the class. I had no idea. Finally, I found her at least where I would expect her, in the bookstore, and she was standing in line with a big stack of books and a fistful of pens, and she looked like a schoolgirl, so excited to be buying her supplies. And she was so engaged in that poetry class. I mean, she would call me like the day after class with her poem written, like, can I read it to you? You know. So there was this wonderful story of excitement and opening, but I thought about, what if she didn't have somebody cheerleading? What about, it's great when we have cheerleaders in our lives, right? Somebody who's going to goad us on and encourage us to do what is ours to do, to step in. But what about the times we don't? These powers allow us to find it within ourselves. And so had my mom found it within herself, it would have looked like acknowledging that there was fear. Not making up excuses, but just being honest about what's here. I'm afraid, right? And once we acknowledge that, then using our spiritual principles and practices as we know them to be, and our affirmative prayer, there's that power of release, right? Before we affirm what it is we want. And when we release something having power over us, it can be especially potent. So my mom could have said, this fear of failing has no power over me. And letting that go then opens the way for what can come. She could have claimed it then. I now know I am one with divine mind. I'm still a good student. And I give thanks for the new doors of opportunity that I am saying yes to now. It opens our way to the power of zeal, essentially, right? It opens us back up to passion, to joy, to what is possible for us in life when we renounce what isn't, when we let go of what is standing in the way, whatever resistance may be present. So there is a way that we can assess this power. Actually, Cher Holton and Paul Hasselbeck wrote a book together called Power Up that's on the 12 powers. And they help us see when the power might be overdeveloped or underdeveloped for all of the 12 powers. And so some ideas that we could take in for this particular power to see kind of where we land on it. Here are some examples. For one, we can take the example of the physical things that Eileen was talking about releasing, right? If we know we are a pack rat, that we're tending to gather up a lot of things, we may be on that underdeveloped end of this power. But we also could be overdeveloped if we're constantly just letting go of stuff, right? And then we need it again, or somebody else in the household needs it again. And so if there's that constant giveaway, sometimes we just need to find that middle ground, that balance, that middle way, as the Buddhists would say, that help us sort of shore up the fullness of the power, whatever it may be. That is a really interesting sound that we're getting. Is that like a rain stick or something? Oh, wonderful. It's the children. Okay. So I just want you all to know what it is so we can all just rest in that and know the kids are having fun. Okay. Just want to make sure it wasn't a rattlesnake. Everybody's safe out there. So that's things, right? Physical things. And then what about relationships, commitments? We could also look at that, right? Are we somebody that just hangs in there no matter what, even when perhaps abusive situations or, you know, challenging situations where we're just completely unhappy, other commitments, not just relationships, then we probably are a little underdeveloped in this power. But on the other hand, as soon as there's like one little rift and we're out the door, we might be a little overdeveloped, you know? So it's finding that middle ground once again. And finally, as we say no, we might be one of those people that says no before somebody can finish their sentence, right? We're just the energy of no, you know? And so that's a little overdeveloped, right? But we also might be somebody who has trouble saying no, right? We say yes to so many things that we may feel overstretched or burdened or overwhelmed in some way, even resentful. So Jesus has a little saying for us there, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Get clear on what is your yes and what is your no. Karen Drucker also has a song, and it goes, N-O is my new yes. Do our musicians know that song? Oh my gosh, look, they just happened to know it, I think.
N-O is my new yes. When I say no, I'm saying yes to me. N-O is my new yes. When I say no, I set myself free. N-O is my new yes. When I say no, I'm saying yes to me. N-O is my new yes. When I say no, I set myself free.
Woo! Thank you. Fun little riff to remind us. So you can imagine something in your life that you might want to be saying no to now. I want to give you a moment to do that, actually, to close your eyes and just check in and see, is there something in your life right now that you really need to be saying no to? Some situation, anything. Just let Spirit give it to you. So don't overthink this. Just let Spirit give it to you naturally and organically. Once you have a sense of what that could be or the general area of life that it is about, I invite you to say with gusto, no. No. Yeah, does it feel good? You want to say it again? Let's do it again. No. Woo, feel the power in the room. So here's another part to that. When you say N-O, because a lot of us are hard, right? To say no to others, to say no, maybe we want to do it all. So it's hard to say no sometimes because there are so many things we're excited about. So if instead of thinking of it as N-O, no, in your own mind, know it as K-N-O-W. Because you know, your soul knows why you are saying no. Your soul knows what's best and highest for you. So you can, as the song goes, right? So now I just invite you one more time to close your eyes, to get a hold of that thing that you're saying no to. And when you say it this time, imagine in your mind, you're saying K-N-O-W. Others are going to hear N-O, but you're saying K-N-O-W. So let's say it one more time. No. Different flavor, huh? So when we know our no, it's easier to say no, and it paves the way for what is yes, what is exciting, what is alive, what is true, what is divine, who am I, what am I here to do? It gets us back on track. So this power of renunciation can help us in that way to become more conscious. So how else can we break down, how else can we make this, ignite this power of release? I want to revisit the beautiful mantra that Eileen gave us, this idea of notice release, accept, and bless. As she talked about notice as having awareness, right? So we begin to notice what the labels are, the limitations are, the things that we have in our lives and that run through our minds that aren't serving us, and the habits, the ways of being, the spiritual practices that really do work for us, to bring all of that into mind, and then to release the ones that don't serve, right? To just let those go. This might even be the place where we say, this, whatever, has no power over me. Fill in the blank. That might be that part of that pronounced renouncement that we're letting go. To accept the things we can't change, right? And of course, ultimately, we can have influence on things, but there are some things that it's better we just stop, you know, pushing that river and let it go. And so let go the things and accept the things that don't feel like ours to change or don't seem to be coming easily to us in that way. And finally, to bless, right? To bless. That which we bless and praise increases. So we bless the good. We look for the good in the situation. We look for the good in the other person. We look for the good in ourselves. And we bless it and we get more of it. So thank you for that beautiful mantra to help us really make this power come alive for us. So we, of course, are not fixed pillars of salt, right? We know this because we are just like the cosmos. We are energy and motion. We are like the cells inside of us are constantly moving and growing and evolving and releasing, right? Cells die away and new cells are reborn. And so it's happening all the time in us physically and spiritually. We are a part of that energy that is constantly evolving. Our minds are constantly renewing themselves. Our hearts always working on letting go what's blocking the way to love and opening up that channel. So all of that is the movement that we are, and this power of release helps us enter into that. So for this 11th of our 12 powers, let's remember all of these truths as we release what no longer serves us so we can step into that infinite abundant good that is ours to claim. I want to invite you to affirm it with me, to hold this, to be with us throughout the week. Together, I release what no longer serves and step into the flow of infinite abundant good. And so it is.